when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all you precious Blood River Radio family members out there. You are listening to Blood River Radio. We are proudly syndicated by Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman and his great family, and the entire broadcasting family of Liberty News, Jay's great network, and Blood River Radio. Today is Saturday, February the 15th, if you're our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2025. There's no name under the sun in which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ plus nothing. Paul said it over and over and over and over, as long with the other apostles. So that's all it takes. So if you will, people, you know this is a Christian radio show. If you will, please bow your head, and I'm going to say a quick prayer. Almighty Father, thank you so much for getting me into this radio station today, overcoming all the adversities thrown in front of me. I won't go into detail what that was, but there was quite a few. But as usual, as always, we overcame them. Blood River Radio and God, I'd like to thank you that, Lord. I'd like to thank you for giving me the honor to taking up the battle in your name. And I was just telling one of our producers before we went on the program today, Lord, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of good people, like G.W. Griffin is one of them I mentioned. There's many of them out there that spread a lot of the truth, Lord. But they do fall short, Lord, and you know why. And because for fear of the Jew, they will not name the great enemy. Lord, they'll go all around it, over it, under it, but they will never touch that real truth. And it's for fear, Lord. It's for fear of the Jew. But thanks to you, Almighty God, thanks to your Son, Jesus Christ, who defeated death forever, thanks to that, giving us courage, we here at Blood River Radio will continue to name that enemy as long as we live, the Jew. As your Son said in the Gospel, they are their father, the devil, and that's who we fight against, Lord. Please, if you will, Lord, continue to give us the wisdom and the courage to know how to do this battle and never, ever let us fail to ride to the sound of the gunfire. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you people, dear people, if you know, excuse this hack, we have a never-ending hack here in Memphis. I do, it's like living in a damn swamp. But anyway, even if you run marathons, you'll be hacking half the time. But anyway, Lord, people, we crashed last week. Our system crashed. We couldn't get out to our guests. Our guests couldn't get in. So just as a quick outline, we're going to do pretty much the same program this week as we did last week for the first hour and 15 minutes or so. With that, we have the same guest on. And we are honored to have Mr. Les Borey on. We will have Paul on just a minute. Paul Fromm. He was busy finishing an interview. He's a very, very, very busy man. He has to go to a Dresden memorial today. So he was going to be on second hour, but he'll have to be at a Dresden memorial. So he can't be with us on second hour. But a second hour, we have Les Borey on first hour. Second hour, we'll pick up with sister, my little sister, Braveheart, Monica Schaefer. Third hour, Gene, the bitter ender, will be on. And we're going to talk about world events for a change. Anyway, people, we didn't have any donors this week, or we would name them. But I would just like to give a shout out there to old Biscuit. I got a text from him a minute ago. I'm telling you what, that is one special guy. Biscuit, I'm so glad you're listening. I really am. Also with all of our other supporters out there. Anyway, that's about it, people. That was a quick outline. Now when we introduce Les Borey, he's going to start. I'll get him to tell you, give a quick, very quick bio, set the table for what we were talking about last week. For you people that tuned in, you probably will know who he is and what he is. But with that, Mr. Les, it's so great to have you on tonight, brother.
Well, thanks for having me, Eddie. It's really nice to be here, and I'd like to say hi to everybody out there who's listening right now.
Yes, sir. You know, Les, a lot of our people that listen, we always have people coming and going. So some people will be here tonight or this afternoon that weren't here last week. So if you will, start from the beginning, give a quick outline of what you were going to talk about, and your journey of being a political prisoner, why you were a political prisoner, and any way you'd like to go. So this hour is yours, and we'll bring Paul on whenever he's ready. Go ahead, Les.
All right, thanks, Eddie. I might as well start from the beginning. That's a good place. Basically, I'm a politician. I'm just a small-time fella. I don't have a whole lot of backing. I hope I have some more now, though. I hope a lot more people know about me now. What I did was I told people that I believe that the government helped to kill us with the vaccines. And they locked us down. They created a lot of despair in Canada. And I believe all over the world they're using this as a test to see just how powerful they really are, these people. And I'm not going to be very direct today, everyone. I'm a little bit afraid to do that after I've been in prison for 2 years for speaking my mind. So I'll do something that I don't normally like to do, and that's to speak to you indirectly. I'll beat around the bush a little bit. So we won't be naming the people. Eddie can take his best guess at who these people might be, or Paul might do it. But I'm waiting for sentencing right now, and maybe my list of charges might say something about my belief system. I was charged with threatening police. I was charged with threatening. Initially, it was just Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. They expanded the charges to include other politicians. I believe Pierre Poilievre's name is on there. He's the Conservative leader. It seems as though they're trying to hand the baton of power in show only, I believe, to Pierre Poilievre, because the baton of power never really leaves the hand that it's in. It seems like it's firmly in the grasp of some people that I won't mention. So those are two of the charges that I was convicted of. I was also convicted of incitement of hatred, 2.0, against Jews. And I was also convicted of advocating for genocide of all things against Jews. Now, most people think that when you advocate for genocide, you advocate for the deaths of all members of a group. Well, I wasn't doing that. But the way the law is written, if you advocate, I suppose, for the deaths for whatever reason of a part of a group, you're still guilty of advocating for the genocide of the entire group. That's how the law is written. They throw a pretty broad net out there, and they catch a lot of fish in that net, right? And when you think about it, I'm basically just like a bit of bycatch right now because I didn't advocate for the death of every Jew in the world, right? So... But I got convicted of that charge that's called advocating for, genocide. So it sounds worse than it is. I won't even tell you why I would do something like that. I'm waiting for my sentencing to happen, and I don't want to make things harder for myself. So I'm going to have to be a little bit indirect, we'll say. But I think you can figure things out. People are pretty smart. I believe most people are smarter than I am, and they shouldn't have too much trouble figuring out who I think was behind the COVID
operations. When is your sentencing date, Russ?
Well, Paul, it's good to hear from you. My sentencing is in March 10th, and that day they'll let me know whether I just walk out a free man, or whether there's other conditions or what's going on. I'm not sure. I don't think they're going to put me back in, but they might. The Crown wants 4 years for the remaining charges, where they wanted 5 years for the all seven of them. So they dropped three charges, yet they still want 4 years. It's a bit stupid. And basically, I've served 2 years of real time. And at the minimum, generally speaking, they give you 1.5 days for every year you've spent, every day you've spent in jail. So at the minimum, I would have served 3 years. But because the conditions at Maplehurst were so bad, they're really inhumane. They might give me a higher premium for time served. I might be up to 4 years worth or even more.
Unless we have to go to our first break of the first hour. We'll be right back, folks, after this first break. Please don't go anywhere. This is an incredible story. So hang on, folks.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at LibertyNewsRadio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips, anytime, anywhere. Join us at LibertyNewsRadio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Introducing managed IT services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with managed IT services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Luther. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. Excuse me for being a little bit late there. I had an incredible hack, but we're going to go right back to our star today. It was Miss Les Borey. And as last week, my great brother Paul Fromm is going to be leading this interview. So all I'm going to be doing is bringing these two great gentlemen, these two great patriots in and out of the breaks. So continue on, if you will, Les. If you don't, and just chime in anytime you get ready, Paul. You know what to do. You're a veteran. Go ahead, Les.
All right. What do you want to talk about next, Paul?
Well, but one of the things that really concerns us in the free speech movement is the accusation of promotion of genocide against a privileged group, in this case Jews. As you say, Les, the words you uttered fall way short of, you know, kill every one of, you know, this particular group. That can get you up to 5 years in jail, and that is really worrying. This is the first time, to our knowledge, that this charge has ever been used in Canada since the hate law came in 1971. In 54 years, so that's really concerning. The other thing is, of course, you've spent almost 2 years in remand. That's in jail. You could not get bail. If you commit murder, you have a chance of getting bail in Canada. If you commit assault, almost certainly you can get bail. You assaulted nobody. You hurt nobody. well, maybe hurt some people's feelings. But so thought crimes are far more serious in this socialist state than actual crimes where there's physical harm. So people have to understand that you not being convicted of anything, and you spent very close to 2 years in jail. To put that in context, there was a non-Canadian resident. I believe he's illegal. He's from the Punjab in India. He tried to rob a liquor store about a year ago. He was chased out of the liquor store by an off-duty cop. He fled the scene in a stolen vehicle. He drove the wrong way down the Highway 401, and that's a major expressway. So we're talking about a major road. He's driving the wrong way with traffic coming at him at 70 miles an hour. Along the way, he manages to hit a car and kill a grandma, a grandpa, and one kid. Okay, he's charged with manslaughter. He got 5 months. Now try to equate 3 deaths due to criminal efforts. 5 months, and Les Borie has already has done 23 months and change for expressing an idea. This country is seriously, seriously ill.
That's beyond
there's no doubt.
Go ahead, Les.
Yeah, Paul's absolutely correct. It's just an indication of what our government really fears. And they really fear losing power. And it's when you think of the government, I like that people to not think of particular parties. Think of some people in the shadows, and that's your government. You know what I mean? It's not the candidates that you vote for. They're just the representatives. They're just the labeling, the packaging.
Yes.
Your real government is pretty much invisible to some degree.
Yes.
If you don't know where to look.
It's the elite. You're perfectly free to criticize political parties in Canada. Or even, you know, the fairly powerful Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who has resigned and will be gone in a few more weeks. You're totally free to do that. But if you talk about some of the shadowy people behind the scenes, you can get into trouble. Incidentally, about elections, if I may catch a little bit of free publicity, I'm running for the Canadians' Choice Party in Etobicoke Centre. That's in the west end of Toronto in the provincial election, which is coming up on the 27th. So I was nominated this past week, and I will be bringing the freedom message to there, and I'm inviting all the people who are fed up with the present governments having trampled their freedoms during the COVID, shutting down businesses, shutting down schools, forcing masking, forcing vaccine, and all sorts of other infringements. If folks are unhappy about the way they were treated, I'm on the ballot.
Well, congratulations, Paul. I'm glad to hear that you're running. I hope you win.
Yeah, I hope so, too. one of the touching things about your story, Les, is the reception you got in prison. Could you tell the Blood River audience how you were treated by many of your fellow prisoners and what your nickname was?
Oh, well, they called me the professor, and that happened after I, was heard talking to people about these political issues and financial issues, and who I thought were pulling the puppet strings in the world. And after a while, when people heard me for a bit, they decided to label me something, and they called me professor, and it was a flattering name. I'm glad they gave me that name as opposed to dumbass or something like that. That could have been real bad. So yeah, that's pretty good. Now it took, it took a little time now for people to get to know me. There's a bit of a revolving door in that jail. But for the most part, I got it off with people pretty early. Like,
you know, I'm a pretty friendly fella. But you got to know that in jail, you don't just go approach people and, you know, start talking like just, you know, when you're, you got to give things time a little bit. You have to season yourself a little bit in there, it seems. You just kind of you show up and people will approach you. They're going to want to know what your charges are, right? They want to make sure you're not some kind of a child molester or a rapist or, you know, or some kind of a rat, like a tattletale, a snitch, whatever you want to call them, an informant. They don't like those kind of people in jail at all. So those are the kind of people you don't want to be. So I didn't fit into any of those groups, so I got off to a pretty decent start. And I told people that I was just trying to help the country. I was trying to overcome this power that's done us a lot of harm. And they appreciated that, the fellows on the ranges. I call them the rangers. Those are the inmates. We live on ranges, living ranges, they call them, where you have a cell, a row of cells, and then outside your row of cells is like a walkway, an area, right? Ours is pretty small. It was probably 4 paces wide by about 52 paces long. And our range was meant to house 26 people, but we ended up with 39 on it because every cell got an extra person on it. So anyhow, the reception I got was real good there and, like, pretty decent. I mean, they're not jumping for joy. No one's like, you know, really, well, some guys gave me fist bumps when they found out what I did. And some people said they had mad respect for me. These are huge, huge compliments in a place like Maplehurst and anywhere else, really. So I was pleased that they appreciated what I did. Now, with the guards, it was a little different at first. I mean, they didn't know what I was in there for, so they were making fun of me, and it's kind of like the S&M thing, you know, between us Rangers that were orange and the guards that were blue, right? But at first, they used to just kind of mock me a little bit, joke around about me, you know, trying to kill Trudeau and stuff like that. That's what they say, right? They say, you know, they were wishing that I did kill Trudeau. They were telling me these things. It was amazing. And I told the fellas, I says, well, Trudeau's my boy. I says, I'm trying to run against him. He's the kind of guy I want to run against because people hate him for a good reason as well, right? So, you know, I started off with that usually. And over time now, it took a couple years. But after a while, the guards were approaching me, and they're actually seriously asking me, like, what am I in here for? Because they've been hearing these rumors, and they wanted to make up their own minds. So I told them what it was, and I told them about the COVID and who I thought was doing things. And they were very supportive after a while. They're suggesting that they'd like to help me with the elections in the future, and they want to help me change Canada as well. So over time, it wasn't just the inmates, but the guards threw in their 2 cents worth, and they encouraged me to continue in my political fight to try and make things better for Canadians. And they also want a better world economically as well. They don't want to be taken advantage of by these bankers that, you know, always take more money out of our economy than they put in. So it's one of those things where, you know, time told. You know, they say time will tell. Well, time told the story, and over time people, like to my face anyhow, and I believe they're being sincere, they were liking what I was doing. And I'm going to continue on. They've encouraged me to continue to try to make a positive change in Canada. So over time, people got to know me, and then they liked what I was doing. So they were a pretty good study group for me to be immersed in for 2 years. So I was right in the people at that point. At the grassroots level, I would not doubt to say that. I wouldn't, or I don't doubt it at all that this was the grassroots level. These fellows in the jails are some of the least privileged people in our society, but they're also some of the people with some of the most courage, believe it or not. I know they do some things that bring them in conflict with other people, but these inmates, they've got a great deal of courage to actually act and to try to achieve their goals, despite the dangers involved. And if a lot more Canadians had this kind of courage and obviously applied it in a different way, our country could be a lot better. And these inmates have told me that they're willing to apply their courage in a different way to make our country a lot better place to live in. And I appreciate that, and I was impressed by the goodness in their hearts. And same with the guards as well. I had a job in jail, and after a while I got to know the guards because of my work. And
that's we have to go to a quick break.
Your daily Liberty Newswire.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Ukrainian President Zelensky views President Trump as key to ending the Ukrainian-Russian war, but he does have a number of key concerns. More on the story from White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Zelensky welcomed a phone call from President Trump, but later said it was not pleasant that Trump first called Russia's Vladimir Putin about negotiations. Zelensky also said he would not accept any agreements that do not include his country in the talks. The Ukrainian leader reportedly told the White House that Putin doesn't want peace, and he said he will only agree to meet in person with the Russian leader after a common plan is negotiated by Donald Trump. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, House Republican Whip Tom Emmer says voters want Congress to cut federal spending in the same manner the Doge goes about it.
As Doge continues to root out waste, fraud, and abuse within our federal government, our House Republican majority stands ready to ensure that our laws follow through on the mandate given to us in November to do the same.
House Republican Conference Chair Lisa McClain says the Democrats just don't seem to get it when it comes to eliminating wasteful spending.
Millions of Americans are cheering for these cuts to waste, fraud, and abuse. Only extreme Democrats seem to have issue with it.
We are learning more about that recent mid-air collision near Washington that left 67 people dead. NTSB says the crew of the Army helicopter may have had inaccurate altitude readings in the moments prior to the crash and also may not have heard key instructions from air traffic controllers to move behind the plane. NTSB says the recording from the helicopter cockpit suggests the crew may have missed the key instruction. More on these stories.
You hear the term living better. What do you think about? More money, a bigger house, maybe a yacht? What about how you feel physically? How do you wake up each day? How do you sleep during the night? What activities you can and cannot do? When you feel good, life is good. So if pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally, developed by doctors. It doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or even eliminate pain. How do I know? Absolutely am a customer. I take Relief Factor daily. No lower back pain for me anymore. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Give their three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Just one phone call, 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, relief wherever you're hurting. In 3 weeks or even days, Relief Factor can give you a chance to rediscover the true meaning of living better again. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF for the one and only Relief Factor.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Blood River Radio family, like, before we get started, I forgot on the first hour. Things have been really hectic today, but this is Dresden month. Just like it'll say in our show notes, in the archives, never, ever forget Dresden. Never, ever figure out why it was done, who it was done to, and who did it. And also, I'd like to just comment, congratulate, if I had a medal, a Silver Star with Oakley Cluster, I would put it on Les Borey because he was talking about the courageous people that are in prison. I would like to say Paul is one of those very, very courageous people. And I'd like to salute you for that. Les, I'd like to salute you for that, buddy. And Monica and her brother, they still continue, after serving time in prison, they still continue to fight like bulldogs. But I salute you people. I really do. God bless you. So, continue on, Les. I'd ask a question during the break. If you want to, you can answer that question about the inmates we talked about and if they are woke more, et cetera, et cetera. And then Paul has a question later on, too, amongst other questions. But go ahead, Les.
Oh, yeah, well, the inmates are much more well-informed now, and so are the guards, than they were a while ago. And it's interesting as well. I used to come to them with information. And then after I was in there for a while, and I didn't really get a whole lot of information, I just got, you know, letters from the outside, and I got to see what's on the the entertainment box there, the television, we'll call it. Basically, they were telling me things that I didn't even know about the people that I was, talking about that got me in trouble. So that was good to see. They actually went and they researched things for themselves, the guards, because the inmates themselves, they're stuck in jail. They don't have computer access. But even some of the inmates, when they left jail and they came back after, they told me that they watched my videos and they researched and they saw what I was talking about and they believed what I was saying was true. So it was interesting. So, I didn't stay out in the world free and tell like everybody in the world what was going on. Other people did that for me. But while I was in jail, I took every opportunity I could to educate anybody that wanted to know. And I didn't push my views on people, not a whole lot, that's for sure. You don't do that in jail. You just kind of try and do your own time. But a lot of guys, they came and asked me things, and other fellows would ask those guys things if they saw them talking to me, right? So word got out, and, some people would approach me and ask me directly, or other people would tell them indirectly, what I thought. And the results were very, very positive. I was amazed. If there was an election held in the prison, I'm convinced I would have won it. So wow, that's pretty good.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I think it's important to, Les keeps talking about prison, but it's important to realize what type of prisoner he was. We called him a political prisoner. He wasn't in there because he assaulted somebody or injured somebody. He was in there for special punishment, that is, being denied his bail and freedom because of his politics. And Amnesty International defines a political prisoner as somebody who is punished, or usually by being imprisoned, solely for the nonviolent expression of his political or religious or social views. And that's less all, to a T. I also see a very interesting similarity between Les and Alfred Schaefer. Alfred
yes.
Schaefer was just an irrepressible irrepressible person who testified to what he believed. In prison, he talked to everybody. He won over a lot of prisoners. He won over a lot of respect. You know, many prisoners would ask, what are you here for? Oh, well, I beat somebody up. Or what are you here for? Rape. And then when they asked him, well, what are you here for? For making a video, for and expressing his political views and his doubts about the new Canada's new religion, which is the religion of Holocaust. Now that he expressed a lot of doubts, and in prison he talked to everybody, and he won over an awful lot of people. And I see the same sort of irrepressible spirit in Les. You know, he didn't put his head down in a cell and just try to let the time go away. He interacted with people, and he educated a lot of people. Hence his nickname there, the professor. But that takes a lot of spirit, a lot of guts to, as they say in religious terms, to testify. I mean, to express what you know, and rather than hiding it under a bushel. Les deserves an awful lot of admiration.
Yes. One more quick question, I'll shut up. And this is really in the same vein, is Les, you educated many prisoners in the prison system. So, the prisoners, the people who run the prison have got to be pulling their damn hair out because it's like they're spreading a seed, of weed seed, among their garden without intentionally doing it. All kind of on the same vein, because of your imprisonment for thought crime and speech crime, is the general public, non-prison public, the people that aren't in jail, have they been awakened anymore? Because, due to your being in prison, have they become any more aware, Les? I will shut up after that.
Well, for the most part, the people that I've spoken to in the street since I've been out, and some of these people have known me since I was a baby, pretty much, they know two things right now. And the first thing is, we don't have free speech in Canada. This is something that they did not know. And, the politicians here talk about free speech all the time as they're taking it away from us, as they're introducing their legal countermeasures to, force us into silence and compliance with police violence, okay? So, as this goes on, people are realizing that the message that the public is getting from the politicians does not jibe with reality, which is not a new thing to most of the public these days. I think the people really distrust who they elect anymore. You know, even when they go to vote for someone, I don't think they're very happy to put a mark in that column, all right? So anyhow, these people realize that we don't have free speech, and they realize that we do not have the right to a speedy trial in Canada. They're allowed to hold you federally for 30 months. That's 2.5 years before you even get a trial.
Damn.
Right? Or you'd have to be sentenced in that time, right? So you'd have a trial and be sentenced in that time. They're cutting it pretty close with me. March is that's getting pretty close. That's, about 25 months. So they're just about, 5 months short of having to kick me out, right? So they're going to probably get it done because it's going to happen in March. But 20 or 2.5 years without a trial is a long time. Even provincially, the standard provincially is 18 months. And if they don't try you in 18 months, they generally kick your charges out. Now, that's still a year and a half. That's not a speedy trial either.
No.
So either way you look at it, it's terrible. They can hold us for... Yep.
Yeah, the justice system here, at least in the province of Ontario, is totally corrupted and sclerotic. It just doesn't work. I'll give you an example, the way it used to work. Just before Confederation, about 3 or 4 years before 1867, some man in London, Ontario, was in a bar, shot and killed another man. He escaped. That was in May. They caught him in June, a few towns away. He was tried in July. He was convicted and sentenced to hang. In August, he appealed. The appeal was turned down, and he was hanged in September. So May the crime was committed. September, he was executed. And, you know, he got a trial. He got an appeal. But our system is just seized up like an old engine. And that's one of the few real functions of government, a justice system. They don't run that well. Meanwhile, you know, they're all into diversity, equity, and inclusion, and making sure you use the right pronoun to, you have to find out how Eddie identifies. Perhaps he identifies as a purple people eater, so I have to figure out, do I call him they, or, you know, they can't do the basics. And this is under a conservative government, but it was the same under a liberal government. As Les points out, the major parties are really just different heads of the same monster.
Absolutely.
Guys, Paul, you wound up just in the nick of time because we got to go to, or it looks like our last break of this hour. We got to go to a break, people. This will be just a short, not a long break, so, but you still have time to get you some coffee or some tea. We'll be right back, folks. You don't want to miss the rest of this interview. Be right back.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, time is money, and it goes by quickly. We got Sister Monica Braveheart here, so I'm going to shut the hell up and go back to Les. And Les, you bring the folks in, since this is your hour. You bring Monica and Paul in at your behest. Go ahead, Les.
Oh, hi. Right now, we've got Monica Schaefer with us and Paul Fromm as well, who's been conducting most of this interview. I thank Eddie for letting me be on his show today. It's been a lot of fun. Eddie asked me something earlier about, did you think that one of the times that I got assaulted in jail or had an incident, I should say, he's asking me if it was set up by perhaps some of the powers that be. And one thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about was the fact that it could very well have been. The day before it happened, someone yelled down the range and says, "Hey, Professor, you're somebody in the holding cell in the bullpen for the court." That's a place where they hold a lot of prisoners at one time. They just put a whole bunch of guys in there, and when they wait for video court, they take them out one at a time, right, to go to court. Anyhow, in this bullpen, someone claimed that my cellmate, the guy that I think was the one, because I didn't see who did it, but I'm pretty sure I know who it was,
who, you know, jumped me up there. Basically, they said that he looked like a cop, they said. On the road, like on the outside, they said that they recognized him as a police officer, someone said. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, or mistaken identity, but the very next day is when that incident happened. And so I ended up in the hospital after that for a few hours. And, you know, I got moved to a different range after that, despite being, despite asking the guards to go back to my home range, where I was quite happy. The fellows on the range were good to me, and I had a good rapport with the fellows, and I'm welcome back there. If I ever go back to jail again, I can go back to D range anytime I want. You know, things change there, though. With different people, you'll have different a different culture emerge as well. But anyhow, so it's hard to say if that was a planned thing or not. I don't know. It was a very unusual kind of an attack in jail. Usually they're fights, and this wasn't really a fight. It was more like I didn't see what was coming from behind, and you know, my eyesight went out right away, and I lost consciousness right at the beginning of all this. So it was an unusual kind of a situation that happened to me. It wasn't a regular cell fight, we'll call it. So I'm not sure what was behind that, but it was sheer coincidence, I'll tell you that. They said that the guy looked like a cop, and the next day I got jumped. So that was kind of a weird thing. Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, just to Sister Monica, I just left a Dresden memorial and managed to pass out a fair number of the stickers promoting truth and justice for Germans, for the society, and a lot of people were not aware that it existed, but they're going to check things out on the website. It's really important to keep these events in people's memory, never forget.
Oh, good, Paul. That's great. So you've already been to that memorial. I'm glad to hear that. And in the second hour, that will be the main focus of our discussion, is about Dresden. But while we're on that, yeah, the website, if people do want to check it out, it is truthandjusticeforgermans.com. So that's all one word, .com. And, yeah, so you can find a lot of articles there that we mostly republish articles from the likes of Robert Folisson or John Weir, I think is his name, Weir's War, and various others. So, and there are many other websites as well where you can find out. And Dresden is just one of the most heinous, horrible crimes that has ever taken place. And it is being brushed under the carpet by the powers that should not be. And so that is something we'll discuss in the second hour. But I would like to chime in. The reason I came in early, like before my scheduled second hour with you, Eddie, is because I was listening to Paul and Leslie talking, and I've really enjoyed this and the prison stories and all that. And I completely agree that the inmates, you know, the fellow prisoners, they become educated from, you know, the fact that they put in political prisoners, and political prisoners are generally speaking, they're going to speak to whoever will listen. And my comment to add to what you were saying is that the prison population is much more open to hearing these things and to comprehending these things, because whatever they are in prison for, whether it's, you know, for theft or whatever, that they, you know, got into violent fights or whatever they're there for, they have bumped up against the system. They have not fit well within the system that we are in for whatever reason, and quite often they may not even understand themselves, like what the heck is going on with you know, things are just upside down and not right. And so quite often, you know, Leslie, what you said about the prison population being very courageous, in, you know, they may have put their energies and courage in a wrong direction and done some things that landed them in jail. But they are, generally speaking, the people who are a little bit more independent-minded and maybe can think for themselves, and their sense of logic is still there. And so then when nothing makes sense in this world, those people who still have their instincts intact, they often do bump up against the system. They do quite often end up in, you know, some kind of trouble. And so they then are much more open to understanding and hearing and understanding the truth. Is that your observation, Leslie? Do you think that what I'm saying might be true?
I think it's spot on. These guys, that's why I call them in the second book, I call them men of action. And that's what they are. They want something, they go and do it, they take it, you know? And they've got a lot of courage to do that. I don't know what kind of chromosomes they got, but if more people in Canada had that kind of take what you want attitude, and you don't always have to apply that in a bad way, but you can make it work to benefit society, you know. And if these guys had more opportunity in the economy to get what they wanted, they'd probably be very successful. I think there'd be a lot of good businessmen amongst these people. They're certainly go-getters.
Yeah.
Some of these guys were prolific criminals. I mean, the work ethic on these guys is amazing, and people might frown on what I'm going to say and say, well, they used it for harm. But, I mean, one guy claimed that he committed like 200,000 crimes, and this guy was like using this criminal life as a means of making a living. So he was going out to work every day stealing, catalytic converters and things like this, and the guy was pretty handy with some hand tools, you know? So...
Wow.
It's out there. The guys like this could be high achievers in a society that had maybe a better setup, you know, a better foundation. One where
exactly.
Maybe the banks, where the banks don't take more money out of the economy than they put in, you know, and things like this, and where we don't give our manufacturing base up to globalists to help water down our country and make us weaker by, you know, removing our ability to create goods and some of these goods to be.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Leslie. These people are not, they don't tend to be these lame yes men. And in a system that is completely upside down, they end up in trouble because, like you say, they're working for what they need to get or what they want to get. But in a healthy society that is not completely inverted and upside down, this good energy could be put to in a better way, right? And it just channeled in a better way, a healthier way and whatnot. Yeah, I agree 100%.
By the way,
Leslie, I have a letter that was returned to me that I sent to you. I sent it, actually, it was the day before our mail strike, and then it was sitting in limbo for a month, and then it did get through to the prison, and I just got it back, and they had opened it, and so it did not come back just because you had already been released. No, it went to the prison, but they enclosed a form with it to give the reason for return. And, you know, it's funny because I had to think of Alfred. Alfred had received a letter back from that he had sent to you. And because he had drawn something with crayons, in his case, the form, it has all these different things, possibilities of why it got sent back. And in his case, it was, you know, pencils or crayons were used. And so he laughed his head off about that, but it was a pity because he sent you a good letter, and these letters take effort.
Ah.
And in both his case and in my case, these are handwritten letters. So this one came back. I'll tell you why. They checked off the part here that says, okay, either there was lipstick or lip imprints or bodily fluids or unknown fluids or stains or substances or scented materials. And I'm telling you, I inspected this letter. There's no lipstick. I can guarantee you that. But it does have a bit of a smell to it, but it's not my smell. I think maybe there was somebody along the way, maybe in a post office had some kind of perfume and they touched the letter. Who knows? But maybe, just maybe, it was the contents of the letter in terms of what was written in it. But it had nothing to do with the kind of the usual things I was telling you about our situation in Canada, where they want to make it against the law to question our genocide here in Canada, the one that they tell us all about the indigenous people.
Sister Monica, we've got to
move on completely. Yeah, I hear the music.
Let's hang on. Don't hang up yet. I'd like to speak to you during the break before we go to the second hour. Be right back, folks. Hang on your seats. We're going to the second hour with Sister Monica Braveheart. Hang on, folks.